In these three talks, we're going to look through different windows on hope. Faith, hope, and love abide, says St. Paul in the letter to the Corinthians, and I suspect the one we find harder to grapple with is hope. Whether it's in our personal lives or in facing together the very real challenges of our time, the working of hope is essential. But what is hope? Where does it come from? What does it do? One of the difficulties we face is that we use the word hope in different ways in our everyday speech. Sometimes hope means wishful thinking. I hope my bus comes soon. I hope my lottery ticket comes up. I hope there'll be some rain tonight, the garden's so dry. I really hope Donald Trump doesn't get re-elected. Wishful thinking is the desire to sidestep or escape a current reality or a future we don't relish. It's passive. We want someone else to do this for us, to change this uncomfortable, unwanted situation, to help us be somewhere else. Hope, from a Christian perspective, begins with facing, full square, what is real. It sees what's difficult, but also what can be. Hope is engaged and practical, creative and persistent, shaped for movement towards wholeness, reconciliation, renewal and liberation. For hope is of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul writes, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Wishful thinking comes from our wants or fears. Hope comes from God. In one sense, it is the very life of God, and through God's gift, it can become the heart of our lives. Christian hope is expressed more by doing than feeling, and that's one thing that distinguishes it from optimism. Optimists have a positive outlook. They look on the bright side and give no more than a casual glance at any obstacles that might stand in their way. They're guided by the feeling that everything will be okay. Optimism can be really helpful in creating energy when you're faced with difficulties, but it's not the same as hope. We live on a busy road. There's frequent buses going by. Crossing the road at rush hour is a challenge. Optimism is not really useful here. If a bus is coming, it's dangerous for me to be optimistic about how long it takes for me to cross the road before the bus gets to me. What I need is patience and realism. There will be a gap in the traffic, and until that moment, I must wait. And when the moment comes, I actively cross the road. Optimism sees what it wants to see and ignores the rest. Hope sees and faces what is. Hope is prepared to take and work with the muddle and the mess, the obstacles and the challenges, and to do so with creativity, inspiration and perspiration. It's not afraid to get its hands dirty. Talking of getting hands dirty, working in a garden has become a window on hope for me. Unsurprising, perhaps, because the Bible is full of imagery drawn from rhythms of growth and creation. Fruits of the Spirit, seeds sown and the mystery of what they become, the wilderness breaking forth in flower after rain, the cut down tree that bears a new strong shoot. The people of the Bible were people of the land, their lives moving in the rhythm of seeds, shoots and harvest. In these past months, many of us have ventured more into our gardens or taken exercise in local open spaces or the countryside, and we've taken greater notice of the natural world around us. With this, we've breathed in well-being and found more balance amidst the upsets of turbulent times. Perhaps we're beginning to understand that we need this rootedness in things of the earth and the rhythms of seasons that together over time we have lost. When I took on an allotment, I knew next to nothing about gardening. I loved the look of the plot, the way the sun fell on it, even on a winter day, the view across the valley towards woods. I also saw 250 square yards of bindweed, brambles, couch grass and nettles. I knew there was real work here, but looking at the tangle, what I also saw was what this plot might become. There was some unreal optimism mixed in here, but with it the vision, the desire, and the practical determination of hope. The word allotment began to be interesting to me. Allotment as what falls to you, what's given, where you begin from. I thought about that other givenness of our own reality, our particular personality, our upbringing, and our current circumstances. Who we are as the fruit of our choices, but also what happened to us along the way, all those events that chose us. My physical allotment was south-facing and on a slope, with free, draining, stony soil absolutely incapable of holding water. My arms, I'm sure, are longer now from the endless carrying of watering cans. At that time, it had been neglected for 7 years, and the weeds were completely at home. This was the reality where the growing story would begin. The real had to be owned. Water-loving plants would never thrive here. Weeds would continually need keeping in order. And this real was the ground of future fruitfulness and beauty. I came to see that hope has this shape, mingling perspiration and inspiration, dogged work and creativity. I see something of the same accompanying people through spiritual direction and retreats, the harms of past hurts, the constraints of inward fears, and outward pressures are there in the room. And there also, as the person opens themselves to God, is the Holy Spirit, drawing forth hidden depths, loosening inward bonds, integrating difficulties, so that they begin to work for life rather than against it. Not taking people to another, different life, but creating life from where they are. For God is being the gardener here, not giving up on the plot, but seeing what it can be, labouring for the person. Also saying to them, let's work together, you and I. It's your garden, after all. And this growing process is a cooperative working in one Holy Spirit. Maybe Mary Magdalene wasn't so far wrong on that Easter morning when she supposed Jesus to be the gardener. The Jesus of the Gospels saw with keen eye the difficulty, pain or confusion in someone's life, a Levi or a Simon Peter or a Mary Magdalene. Seeing the difficulties, but also seeing the more that they were and would be. And those who looked into Jesus' eyes and didn't turn away, responded. And as long as they remained in his company, he went on working with them. Working my allotment has also earthed me in the rhythm of growing seasons. Periods of my life when I felt most short of hope often seemed to coincide with the onset of winter. Brief, dark days, the once colourful autumn leaves decaying into a grey-brown slush. But gardening helped me begin to see the necessity of this fallow time. The process of decay is refreshing the soil from which life, will once more spring. Beyond our vision, the shells of fallen seeds are being broken open by frost and rain so that a new shoot can emerge. Underground, roots are seeking out the nourishment that one day will underpin upward movement into the air. Hope is earthed in this dark waiting, opening up the ground of where we are and who we are to God, giving God the room to go on working. Prayer is not a way of seeking escape from reality, but inviting God, the gardener, to take our ground and work with us on it. It's the only ground we have, and it's the ground that God believes in and desires to go on working with. We most readily link hope with springtime, the breaking of buds on what seemed a dead tree, or the miracle of seeds waking. Spring, when it comes, is like the word, a welling up of life from deep within. It is purposeful. Spring reminds us that for all things, to be is to become. I remember watching a demolition site on my daily commute into London by train. Abandoned, first wisps of grass arrived, then buddleia, sycamore trees. Gradually the concrete was turning into a forest. Then the bulldozers came and ripped it all up to make way for a car park. The Victorian poet Gerard Manley Hopkins observed this kind of capacity humankind has for destructiveness. Our feet, he says, cannot feel earth being shod. We casually ruin the created world with our carelessness. And yet, he wrote, for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights of the Black West went, O morning, at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods, with warm breast and with our bright wings. That dearest freshness, deep down things, deep down in you or me, the depths also of Holy Spirit, pressing to be and to become. There is work for the gardener to do, and the growth that comes is mysterious. As Hopkins puts it in another of his poems, a who knows how, a more than we can imagine if rooted and grounded in God. Hope is expressed in the daring to go with this more, like a bud that dares to lose its protective wrapping and open itself to the sun. If we dare to respond to the invitation of the Holy Spirit in our spirit, then even concrete need not have the last say. Anyone who gardens is familiar with defeats. The rows of once fresh seedlings consumed by slugs, once promising crops ruined by too much rain or too little rain. Jesus understood such setbacks. A sower went out to sow. Some seed fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground and without a depth of soil withered away when the sun came up. Other seed fell among thorns and the thorns grew up and choked it and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. To hear the parable of the sower, we need to rid ourselves of perspectives gained from modern models of efficient horticulture. The sower who scatters seed amidst birds, rocks, and thorns is not being wasteful. This is how the field is. There are rocks, thorns, the hungry birds come. But the sower also knows there are pockets of good soil, and so is liberal in the sowing. As we begin to respond to the work of the Spirit in our lives, we may discover everything in us that doesn't want to go there. The barriers, the obstacles exist not just outside us, but also within. Our capacity to open ourselves to the flowing of hope may be eroded by the remembrance of our faults, our past failures. The harm of the past may have caused us to live fearfully, warding off perceived danger and closing us off, despite ourselves, to the possibility of renewal. But then, listening to the parable as Jesus bids us to, all that is needed for the sower is a place to begin. The sower sees the birds, the rocks, the thorns, but also the good soil, a pocket of possibility, a place to begin, an invitation to us to defy our inner critics and jailers and take the risk of hope. The time for harvest comes, just as high summer passes and the journey into winter begins. As the leaves begin to fall, I go into the garden and gather seed from the spent flower heads. I know I'm gathering into my hands another springtime to come. Facing the possibility of his own death, Jesus expressed the spirit by which he chose to live. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains but a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This is why life persists on earth, because plants have an inbuilt generosity that means that they share and expend the fruit of their labour so that future generations beyond them will flourish. Jesus reveals the working of hope. If we can be generous with who we are and what we have in cooperation with the Spirit, defying the impulse to grasp what we have or hide who we are, our generosity will go on creating life where destruction now holds its sway. The God of hope goes on creating, and in God's Spirit, hope can abound in us too. You can access some prayer and reflection exercises on the St. Augustine's website to go with these talks. These will help you go on gazing through these different windows on hope. Those who work with the rhythms of creation are people of hope. On cold autumn days, bulbs are planted in the ground for a springtime to come. Gardeners are always looking a season ahead, even as they're present to the moment they're in. Hope has to get its hands dirty. There is work to do and difficulties to face, and the possibility and the promise of much fruit from even a single grain that dares to fall to the ground.